Welcome to the Real Truth Matters podcast. I'm Dan Harder, your host. The RTM podcast is all about showing you how to live in biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect. And now, here's Real Truth Matters founder and director, Michael Durham.
We are continuing our discussion on spiritual declension. Today, we want to put forth the cure for this spiritual malady. If you want to combat spiritual decline and experience personal revival, then give me your attention. Let me direct your focus to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5, and verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The first thing you should notice is the word senses. What are your physical senses and what are their purpose? Well, they're the faculties of perception with which you take in stimuli from both outside and from within the body. They are sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Through your senses, you gather information. The author of Hebrews is using this illustratively. Just as you have physical senses, you also have spiritual senses, and by these spiritual faculties, you can discern good and evil. You can sense the fluctuations and the rhythms of your own heart. Through them, you can even intuitively know deceptive teaching, even though it may be wrapped in good theological terminology. Therefore, our spiritual senses need to be honed, alert, and functioning properly. Another word we need to highlight is the word exercise. The text says, have their senses exercised. This word comes from a Greek word from which we get our English word, gymnasium. Now, what's a gymnasium for? Well, it's a place of strenuous activity. It's a place where through discipline and hard work, you either get in shape or prepare for an athletic competition. It's a place of practice through repetition. Next, we look at the words by reason of use. The English Standard Version does an excellent job in translating this phrase. It says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Trained by constant practice. That's a huge phrase, and it tells us much. If you're to understand spiritual declension, you're going to have to constantly practice getting acquainted with the rhythms of your own heart. The word practice says it all. You must learn by practice. That means doing it over and over again, detecting the degree of fascination in your heart for the Lord Jesus. That's what mature people do. They learn and they refuse to get discouraged. If they fail, they learn to grieve their sin, yes, but they will not be overcome with the guilt. They realize that the word practice excludes failure. Failure is a part of practicing. When you go to the gym to develop a physical skill, whether it be a specific sport or trying to improve your physical condition, you must learn to practice that skill. In the beginning, you may fail the exercise, but in this case, failure is not failure. It's practicing the skill until you accomplish it. Failure would be to cease practicing, to stop entirely, thinking you can't improve. But anyone that has acquired proficiency knows that in the beginning, failure is just a part of developing the ability. I discovered this as a boy, learning to hit a baseball left-handed. Now, I'm naturally right-handed, but I wanted to be a switch hitter, so every day, I would go to my backyard and throw the ball up, attempting to hit it left-handed. The first day, I don't think I ever hit it once. The second day, I hit it, but only a few times. I missed more than I hit. But later in the week, I steadily improved. Now, my question is this. All those failed attempts, were they really failures or simply a necessary part of learning a new skill? And if you answered a necessary part of learning a new skill, well, you are right. The same is true with spiritual exercise. you continue to cultivate this practice of watching your heart and its patterns. There are always patterns. You're too much a creature of habit. Your spiritual life will also have patterns of rhythm. It takes practice to learn those patterns, and the more you practice, the more skilled you become. Practicing to develop your spiritual senses is more important than most understand. Your first and primary responsibility in life is to care for your own soul. Jesus said, "For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Nothing is more valuable than the soul, your soul, and it's up to you to care for your soul. It's not the first and primary responsibility of pastors to care for you either. Their first and primary responsibility is to care for their own souls, or they'll be no good to us. The task is no different whether you're a pastor, a deacon, or simply a member of the church. Your primary task is to wake up every morning and to ensure that your spiritual health is full of vim and vigor and that your walk with God is as good as it can be to the degree of knowledge you have up to this point. How are you doing as the physician of your own soul? Are you applying attention to your heart? Are you fulfilling your spiritual dietary requirements? Let me give you four things that I think your soul's health depends upon to keep you from spiritual declension or to recover from it. I cannot emphasize these four things enough. These are the four things that, through constant practice, you exercise and develop the senses. The first thing you need is a biblically balanced knowledge of God. I start here because there's nothing greater to know than God. He gave you a mind to reason, meditate, and think upon Him. To know the Lord means you must become a student of the Bible. Some Christians neglect the Word of God, and most do so unintentionally. It's this neglect that contributes to spiritual declension. Others spiritually decline, not because of neglect of the book, since they're faithful to regularly read the Scriptures. However, the reason they read their Bibles is not for the reason that God intended. There is a way to read and not read your Bible. We are to read to know the God of this book because it's through this book He's chosen to reveal Himself. For my relationship with my wife to grow, I must get to know my wife and grow in the knowledge of her. Truly, it's no different dealing with the greatest person in the whole universe, the omnipotent, divine, eternal one. Remember, He's still a person with whom you must know and grow in your knowledge of Him. Second, you need a biblically balanced knowledge of God, but you also need a personal reality of the knowing of God. Now, what does that mean? It means what you know about Him is becoming a real experience. God didn't give you the Bible so that you can become a theologian only. The 20th century famous pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said he spent half of his ministry trying to teach people that doctrine was essential, and the other half of his ministry teaching doctrine wasn't everything. By that, he meant we're to know God in relationship, learning by a conscious awareness of His presence through the Holy Spirit and by faith in His Word. What good is your information about God if you don't practice God's presence and experience Him? What profit was it to the Pharisees to have great knowledge of the Scriptures but not know or trust Jesus? You see, knowledge alone is not enough. We need to daily experience this living God, and that not just weekly in the worship service. As Enoch walked with God, that's what God wants you to do, and that's why He saved you. Yes, sin has to be dealt with, and yes, His righteousness has to be satisfied. But that was done on the cross. By faith in Christ, you can know God personally and experience His love for you. Well, the third true knowledge you must acquire is a biblically balanced knowledge of yourself. You see, once you know God biblically, you begin to see the real you and not the religious facade that you've presented. Now, let's face it. We all, including myself, want people to think we're more spiritual than we really are. We don't want them to know that we're not as spiritual as we may appear. And the only way for me to know the who I am is to know God biblically and experientially. It's the Lord Jesus Himself that sets the standard of what a person should be. Knowing Him is to reveal the real you and me. To have a biblically balanced knowledge of yourself is to first understand what the Bible says about our nature, our propensity, and our sin. We are by essence rebels against God. We came into this world haters of God. And we must never forget that apart from Christ and His grace, we would be that once again. We still have a nature that's corrupted and needs to be fully redeemed. So, secondly, in knowing yourself, you need to know what God has done to redeem you. He sent His Son to die on the cross to receive the justice that your sins deserved, and as He hung on the cross, He was there in your place. He received God's holy wrath and vengeance. We are the product of God's electing love, and you need to know that, sir. Madam, you must know that you could never redeem yourself from your deserved condemnation. You also need to know that if you are a Christian, you are in Christ. You're in union with Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. You need to know and believe that you're no longer a criminal, but a child. This, I cannot overemphasize, must be clearly understood. You have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are justified, and those whom He justified, He glorified. God sees you accepted in the Beloved. Can you say without fear of being proven wrong that for the eternal ages to come, you're an undeserving recipient of the grace of God? When you rationally understand that, you must then proceed to not settle for just an intellectual understanding. No, this knowledge should motivate what I call desperate dependency. Well, finally, you need the personal reality of knowing yourself. This is the fourth piece of knowledge that you need. And all that means is this. You need to learn your own heart and its state of being. As I've already said, this is where many of us are failing because we just don't hear things like this. Our forefathers regularly taught these things, but today, for whatever reasons, much of this has been bypassed. And my friend, you must learn and discern your heart and its rhythms. I've learned after numerous failures in trying to learn how to walk with God that I cannot walk with Him. I just cannot do it. But He can. By faith, He can infuse me with His strength. I'm too weak, but He is strong. My failures have been my blessed teachers, and I've learned my heart. Now I can detect the first movements of declension in my soul. And it's at that moment I must make the decision to turn to the Lord. I must not say to the Holy Spirit, "Well, we'll talk about that tomorrow, Lord, when I have my devotions with you." No, my friend. You should fear and tremble and immediately go to God and deal with your heart. Deal with it until heaven's love is poured into your soul as soon as possible. You've got to get alone with God and wrestle with your heart. You must confess your heart's depletion of love for God, the depletion of your fascination with God. If you wait, the more you will drift backwards. Remember, if you're not progressing, you're digressing. So know yourself, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, know your besetting sins. Learn well, and learn that Jesus is there with you and He will help you. I hope with confidence in God that I've alarmed some of you to the point of arousal, but remember, if you do nothing with this alarm, you will digress even further. And so I ask you, has the Spirit of God diagnosed your spiritual decline today? Are you not as well as you thought when this podcast began? If so, then God is interacting with you. His grace is being bestowed on you right now. My dear friend, cooperate with Him. Please, quit neglecting your soul. If caring for the souls of others has led to the neglect of your own soul, then withdraw from men and draw near to God. Draw near to Him with the certainty and the assurance of His promise to draw near to you. Do you hear the Lord standing at the door of your heart knocking, saying, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me"? Have you missed the fellowship of the Lord? Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please check out our website, realtruthmatters.com, for all our resources. And when you do, sign up for our new free ebook, Hearing Heaven: How to Hear God When You Read Your Bible. I've written this book to help you to discover how to read your Bible and actually experience the Lord communicating with you through the Bible. And this will help greatly in your fight against spiritual declension and to learn your own heart. I want to take this opportunity to tell you about the RTM magazine. Years ago, when I was a pastor with the staff, we produced a monthly digital magazine. Well, we've resurrected that magazine, but changed it into a monthly newsletter. It will consist of two parts. The first is Memoirs of Grace, which will tell you what we've seen the Lord do through RTM in the past month. The second part is The Staff and the Scroll, a monthly devotional for your spiritual progress. To receive the RTM magazine free of charge, go to the website and give us your name and email address. We never will share your email with anyone, nor will we send you requests for support. We will only use your email to send you quality content for your spiritual progress. This podcast is all about biblical spirituality, helping you to see how truth intersects with life and is the basis of experiencing fellowship with God. And so, on behalf of all of us here at Real Truth Matters, thank you for listening today. And may the Lord bless you with His love in a real and tangible way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Truth Matters podcast. I hope you can see that Christianity is profoundly experiential, but always based on the objective truth of Scripture. If you have questions or comments, please send them to our email address, web@realtruthmatters.com. That's web@realtruthmatters.com. Real Truth Matters podcast, dedicated to biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect.